إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Yesterday at the University of Calgary campus, in emulation of what is happening in other campuses across Canada and the United States, there were some individuals that were made encampments there, as they had done in 1985 when they were protesting apartheid South Africa and Columbia University. They made encampments at the University of Calgary. Last night at around 11 p.m., for those that would have seen the videos, the Calgary Police Service came in. They came in with their tear gas, they came in with their batons and their shields, they came in with even flash grenades and the like, and they dispersed this particular protest. Now, when we see this particular event which took place, and this is within our own city, it happened in other places, but this is the first time we've seen it to this extent happening within our own very city. There are a few different lessons that a person could learn from this and derive from it and see what is the mechanism towards change. The first thing that a person needs to understand is that those that were protesting there, they did not do this right away. They waited 7 months, they tried and they exhausted every legal means, every avenue to attempt to have politicians listen to our voices, and none of this worked. So it was not something which happened right away, but rather it was a long time coming because of the fact that those individuals who were in power, they ignored the requests of those that they were meant to serve. Now, when we see this protest which took place, these encampments which took place in the University of Calgary, we see that they were dispersed last night, and from this we also learn something else which is extremely important and critical if we want actual change to take place. When you look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and the total number of them that existed, they were between 114,000 to 124,000 individuals from among the Sahaba. With respect to the actual names of the Sahaba that we know, there are around 3,000, as it is mentioned by Ibn Abd al-Barr in his book Al-Isti'ad fi Ma'rifat al-Ashab. There's around 3,000 names that we could mention about the Sahaba if we're thinking about the names themselves. Now, when it comes to the specific figures and their lives that they had lived, this is even few. And if you were to ask the majority of Muslims, unfortunately, would probably be able to mention 10, perhaps 20, at the absolute maximum, 50 individuals from among the Sahaba, and mention their particular stories. And most of us could not even come close to this number. However, having said this, there are certain names from among the Sahaba that we do know. Every single Muslim knows, every single Muslim child does know. And there are reasons for this. Because when it comes to this, those were the true difference makers in the Ummah of Islam. Those were the individuals that put their lives sometimes on the line so that Islam would propagate and so that justice would prevail and so that oppression was no longer the order of the day. When you look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, it is mentioned in one particular narration, narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who was one of the early Muslims and he was a young Muslim as well, and this gives us some indication about the fact that change did not happen. And it's not by coincidence that change happens at the universities. These protests, they do not take place in the workplaces, nor do they take place in the libraries, nor even the masajid, but they take place in universities, and that is by design. Abdullah Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, as a young kid, he was among the first 6 individuals to embrace Islam, and he was also one of those to publicize Islam very early on, and was the first individual to recite the Quran in public. But prior to himself, he actually makes a comment in a particular narration, and he says that كان أول من أظهر إسلامه سبعة. That the first individuals to publicize their Islam, they were 7 individuals. The first of them leading by example was an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was protected, as we know, by whom? By Abu Talib, who protected him from any type of torture. The second individual mentioned in this narration is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He was protected by Banu Taym bin Murrah, his particular tribe, took care of him and ensured that although people were unhappy with his belief, he was not tortured. The remaining five individuals, from Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, his mother Sumayya radiallahu anha, Al-Miqdad radiallahu anhu, Suhayb al-Rumi radiallahu anhu, and Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu, all of these remaining five individuals, they were tortured. And when you look at these five individuals, we find that from among them, they had a high level of their iman. Because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, فَفَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives a virtue to those people that fight, and those people that, for example, went to the protest, that they went to the encampments, as opposed to those that decided to stay home and say, we don't want to be there, maybe we're going to get found out, we don't want to go to those protests. There are some individuals that went there. However, having said this as well, we find that there's another classification from among these five. Because although these five individuals are from among the best of the Muslims, and in fact when it comes to Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu and the family that he had, and the fact that they were tortured, his brother was killed, his father was killed, his mother was killed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the family of Yasir, صَبْرًا آلَ يَاسِرُ فَإِنَّ مَوْعِدُكُمْ الْجَنَّةِ. Be patient, O family of Yasir, for indeed your eventual place will be Jannah. But among all of these, including Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, they all, when the mushrikeen's torture got too much, they said, we cannot bear it anymore. And they gave the mushrikeen what they wanted. There was one individual, and this individual is a name that all of us know. That was one that did not relinquish anything. And that is one of the reasons why every single child in the Muslim Ummah knows this particular Sahabi, even if we don't know Al-Miqdad, even though we should. Even if we don't know Ammar ibn Yasir, even though we should, every single one of us knows Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu. And he was that individual that, despite the mushrikeen's attempt to torture, and it is mentioned by the Sahaba that they used to ask him, we thought you were going to die, we don't even know how you are still alive. Despite all of this, Bilal ibn Rabah, when the mushrikeen and used to torture him, led by Umayyah ibn Khalaf and many among the mushrikeen, and place a boulder on his chest, as we all know, he would still consistently say Ahadun Ahad and stay fast to the tradition and the principles of Islam. What do we learn from this? We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran about certain people, He says, وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِ. He says these particular individuals, they are people that were harmed in relation to the fact that they were in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were people that were harmed because of the fact that they were in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These individuals have a high rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a rank above those that perhaps were not harmed in this particular way. And those individuals eventually are those that are remembered. Those that put their career on the line. As many went to the protest, it could be that they are blacklisted from certain companies in the future because they partook in this particular protest. There are some individuals and students that went for the protest that the University of Calgary threatened to sanction them. And there were some individuals that went to this protest that they were arrested and they were fined. And there were other individuals that went to this protest that had tear gas thrown in their faces. And other individuals that went to the protest, including an elderly lady who was wrestled to the floor by the Calgary Police Services. And all of these individuals that put themselves on the line, at the end of the day, when you look into history and we see which individuals are going to be remembered, are those individuals that stayed home, are they going to be remembered? They were safe, but will they be remembered? Those that went to the protest, and at a certain point, the Calgary Police Service, they told these people that after a certain while, we're going to arrest you. About half of them, they left. And those, we could say, are like the example of those under the threat of torture, under the threat of some ramifications or retribution against them. They gave up, but at least they were from those that, as Allah says in the Quran, as we have mentioned, وَفَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. They had a certain rank above those that did not go out at all. From among those that decided to stay, from among those that decided to stay, and they were arrested. And they said, we are not going to stop unless our demands are met. We tried every other avenue and nothing is working. Those individuals will be like those that in 1985, they went in Columbia University, and is remembered to this day when they used to call Nelson Mandela a terrorist. It's remembered to this day the fact that they were on the right side of history. So this is something that we need to understand and have this principle in place within our mind, that there are going to be people at different levels. Ask yourself, what level are you going to be at? Are you going to be one that sits around, or are you going to be one, especially if you are young, that is going to be active in doing whatever it is that you can to remove this type of oppression that we see happening to our Muslim brothers and sisters in Rafah and many other places in Gaza? So the principle here is that there are other things that we could do as a community as well. For those individuals that are fined, why is it not such that we cannot fundraise among ourselves so that we pay off any type of fine that they may have? For those individuals who are threatened with not having a job in the future, why is it that we do not have Muslims within the community that will look at the fact that they went to this protest and look at it as a mark of honor, that they went to this protest and deliberately decide to hire those particular individuals? There are things that we can do as a community. If there are certain individuals that may be arrested, as we mentioned in two khutbas ago, it is mentioned regarding the first mu'addins of Islam, Bilal al-Rabah is one of them. But another one of them was Sa'ad ibn A'id al-Qarad, radiallahu anhu. And it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, إِذَا لَمْ تَرَى بِلَالًا مَعِيَ فَأَذِّنْ. If you don't see Bilal with you, then you be the mu'addin. So for those individuals that might have been arrested, there are many other Muslims that can go and take their place and say, we are not going to stop until this oppression is removed. This was the eventual cause of apartheid South Africa falling, as we have seen in history. So let us not forget this fact that we have a part to play in history as well, and we want to be from those that are recorded firstly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being those that were on the right side of history. We find that when it comes to this particular group, the vast majority of them are people that are young. Generation Z, these individuals are those that are present in these particular protests. And as we have mentioned, this is not by coincidence, but rather it is by design. Because when you see young people become activated, you see the major changes in the Ummah of Islam. For those that are older, let us look to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that looked among the Sahaba and looked among them, and when he identified particular traits, he pushed those kids in that particular area until they became the leaders of this ummah. We have people like Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, the son of Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu, who eventually, after his father fell in the Battle of Mu'tah, the famous story where he's holding the flag and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, if you fall, then the flag should go to who? Abdullah ibn Rawaha, and if you fall, it should go to Ja'far radiallahu anhu. And this happened one by one. This individual, when he fell, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made his son Usama al-Zayd radiallahu anhu the next commander after his father. He identified he had this particular talent and trait. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he looked at others from among the Sahaba, like Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, as a young kid, was very eager to attend the Battle of Badr. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you are too young. You cannot attend right now. And he started to cry and he started to be sad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam identified that this is a bright child. So what did he tell him? He said, go and learn the Syriac language. Go and learn the Hebrew language. Become a master of language. And eventually he became the scribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, writing down the Quran. To the point that when many of the Huffaz fell in the Battle of Yamama, in the era of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and the Muslims, they said, we need to compile the Quran for future generations. Who was the prime scribe responsible for this task? This was none other than Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. We find many, many more examples of this from among the Sahaba. We could go on and on and on about those individuals like Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu, who had everything the world had to offer. His mother gave him everything. He came from a rich background. And despite all of this, he embraced Islam. He gave his life in the Battle of Uhud and he left with nothing. It could have been that he lived a cushy, comfortable life, but he would not have been remembered. And generations after him, people would have not named their children after Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu. Ask yourself, where are you going to fall in this particular area? The last point that we will leave this khutbah with is a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this hadith is a beautiful prediction, in fact, showing the truthfulness of Islam and the words of al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he describes this ummah and the various stages that it will go through. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, and this hadith is mentioned in the Mu'jam of al-Tabarani, Mu'jam al-Kabir of al-Tabarani, and this is a hadith which is hadith sahih, it's an authentic narration. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ هَذِي الْأَمْرِ نُبُوَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, that the first part of this matter of Islam will be prophethood and mercy in the era of the Nabi ﷺ. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ خِلَافَةً وَرَحْمَةً, after this it will be the khilafah, the khulafa al-Rashidun, the rightly guided khalifs of Islam, Khulafa of Islam, and will also be Rahmah as well. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُلْكًا وَرَحْمَةً, after this it will be kingdoms and mercy. As later on we got that in the Dawlatul Uthmaniyya, Dawlatul Abbasiyya, and the Dawlatul Umayyya. These phases of Islam, they were kingdoms where in which a father would pass on the kingship to his son. And there were some bad, but there was still rahmah, as is mentioned in this particular hadith. Thereafter the hadith mentions, ثُمَّ يَكُونُ إِمَارَةً وَرَحْمَةً, after this it will be emirates, but it will also be rahmah in it as well. We find later on the Muslim ummah became very much fractured, to the point that the certain parts of the khulafa, the Uthmaniyun, and in fact prior to them, in the Abbasid era, in that particular area, the Umayyads, they went to Spain, and they were still in existence, although the main leadership at the time were the Abbasids. Nonetheless, it was sort of broken up and fragmented to a certain degree, but nonetheless, there was rahmah in it. After this, the Prophet ﷺ, what does he say? He says, ثُمَّ يَتَكَادَمُونَ عَلَيْهِ تَكَادُمُ الْحُمُرُ, after this happens, people will attack you just as donkeys attack food in the era of colonialism, wherein the disbelievers, they went into Libya. The Italians went into there. We find the French went into Algeria. The English went into Egypt. And many other places, the English went into India, the subcontinent. And the Philippines, the Spanish went there, and many, many other examples that we could mention about what had happened in all of these particular regions and scenarios. The Dutch went into the East as well, in Indonesia and other regions. ثُمَّ يَتَكَادَمُونَ عَلَيْهِ تَكَادَمُ الْحُمَرُ, referring to the colonial period. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, when this happens, what is the job of the believer? فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجِهَادِ, when this happens, it is upon the believer to fight back. As we saw with the Lion of the Desert, Umar Mukhtar, rahimahullah, in Libya against the Italians in the 1800s approximately at the time. He fought back against them, and you remember him to this day. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجِهَادِ, and he says, وَخَيْرُ جِهَادِكُمْ الرِّبَاطِ, the best type of jihad is a type of jihad which is called الرِّبَاط. What is الرِّبَاط? Allah mentions this in the Quran. In the last ayah of Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا إِصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا, O you who believe, be patient and have this quality of ribat, of protecting the frontiers of the ummah. Just as those individuals were barricading themselves and being on the front lines as a defense against our Muslim brothers in Gaza and the universities, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the best type of jihad is to garrison and make a fort for your Muslim brothers and guard yourselves like this in this particular way. And the hadith that mentions one night in one day in al-ribat is greater than a person fasting the entire month of Ramadan and standing in Mecca the entire month of Ramadan, just one day and one night. And there are many other virtues that a person could mention about the quality of al-ribat. Three eyes will not taste the fire of Jahannam. That eye that lowered itself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not looked at haram. That eye that guarded the frontiers of the Muslim ummah. And that eye that shed a tear for its creator. These eyes will not face the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this quality is called al-ribat. The last part of this hadith is where the miracle lies. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَخَيْرُ رِبَاطِكُمْ عَسْقَلَانِ, the best type of ribat is the ribat which is done in the land of Asqalan. Where is Asqalan? It is the city of Ashkelon, which is just north of Gaza. And this is a miracle hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people there are doing their job. Ask yourself, are you doing your job? And are you willing to do anything to put yourself on the line? For the sake of Islam, you will be remembered if you do this. And as a community, we have strength in numbers. We have strength in the community of Islam, that despite people threatening us in the way that we are, if we pool together and are united and not divided, this ummah will be successful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أرسل نبيه برسالات وأيده بالمعجزات رب الأرض رب السماوات أحمده أبل حمد وأكمله وأزكاه وأشمله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الواحد الغفار أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى المختار صلى الله صلى الله عليه وزاده فضلا وشرفا إليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوصيكم أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين، اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في غزة، اللهم انصر المسلمين المجاهدين في غزة، اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين، اللهم ارزقنا صلاة في مسجد الأقصى وهو حر عزيز. اللهم إنا نسألك فتحا مبينا، اللهم إنا نسألك نصرا قريبا. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. واذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم. ذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.